Hey everybody, here we are back on the Linux Link Tech Show, episode...
What did you just turn down?
I just turned down the Skype volume.
You didn't touch that one, did he? The one on the end?
Yeah.
The master?
Yeah.
Well, let's turn the master back up.
No, that's the...
Which one did you touch?
He changed the pan off of the Skype.
Yeah, that's the pan.
He didn't touch the one that lowers all the volume, does it?
No.
Because my wave just went right into the trash.
Did it? And we thought we weren't going to have any. Well, we're still not having any technical difficulties.
Is that up far enough there, Alan?
For when we have a Skype call, yeah.
I'm not worried about the Skype call. I'm worried about the
recording. It should be off when we don't have a Skype call.
Right.
So that's the other way.
Is the master volume... No, not that. The one that's important. Yes.
The master.
We haven't touched that one.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
We haven't touched that one. We just
put a piece of tape over that.
The volume.
We just turned the Skype volume down again.
No, wait a minute.
The volume's good, man.
You know, here we are. We're already arguing. We haven't even introduced the show yet. Anyway, hey.
But you got to look at... Like, when Pat and Alan talk, man, the waveform just goes all over the place.
We have different microphones. That's why.
Pull them down a little bit. Is that better?
I don't know. They're not talking now. I can't see it.
Sorry.
How's the sound now?
Huh?
Doesn't everyone love that we do our testing right? We do our testing live.
Why
did
it work so well before the show?
I don't know.
But you know who's really low is Link.
Who's really low is me?
Yeah.
He's cranked, though.
Crank myself up a little more. How's that?
That's a little better. But yours is like lower
than
everybody's.
Can I just swallow the microphone?
No.
That's better.
That's the problem.
Better.
Don't swallow the microphone.
You know what we really need, man? We really need to get like a compressor limiter.
We need a sound dude. That's what we need.
Yeah, but yeah, well, that was
me.
We want
the old mixer back.
No.
All right, listen. Hey, this is show 82, and this is a really special episode. Why? Because
82.
It's 82. We've done 82, right? It's not 81 anymore. We have some really cool guests going on tonight as well. But first off, I would like to play for you a message.
But before that, I have a question.
From one of our sponsors. What?
Yes,
Alan,
I'm wearing
do you want
pants.
That styrofoam that came with the new mixer? Or
no,
can I
no,
throw
you,
it
you,
out?
Because
I have the old mixer in the box with one of the pieces of styrofoam, but they both don't fit in. All right.
Okay.
That's important.
People are saying they can't hear us. We've got to have the master volume turned up. The master.
Crank
volume.
It up.
Master volume turned up a little bit.
Now, you know what? That's
how we
way
doing over
it
there?
Should be.
All right, then.
It should be cranked.
We're good. Hey,
look at that.
Is it sound better now, guys?
Oh, it sounds. And your waveform
you,
is a lot larger.
You people on the IRC chat.
Hey, what do you mean by you people?
What?
I take offense to that.
Yous.
Pat's not a people. Yeah.
And besides, it's yous people.
Yous people. Yeah, we're from.
Oh, you know what?
We're from Pennsylvania.
If somebody
Dutch
calls
country.
Us, man, that Skype. Woo.
Yous people.
That's going to kill us.
Got to make sure to take off the headphones when they call in. The phone rings.
I want to put the do not disturb on because I don't want
anyway,
my ears to blow out. Again.
And now, a message from our sponsors.
Or hey, guys, instead of writing you a normal email message, I thought I'd try something different because everyone else seems to be sending you audio messages, so why not? Regarding that stream, I've been having major problems. Now, if I don't know if it's like something on my end with my server or if it's like something with my ISP blocking ports, but it just won't run no matter what I do. So, like, we had it running before, but I just don't know how stable it's going to be. I have about a megabit up, so, like, bandwidth really isn't the problem. But regarding that AUG and MP3 thing, I think you should personally keep both, because I actually have an MP3 player, and it doesn't play AUG. And if you guys are looking for like cheap space to host both those formats, there's an ISP in Canada. I guess not an ISP, a web host in Canada I use. It's called Kanika at www.kanika.com. And their prices are fairly decent. I think it's like $10 a month for 20 gigabytes of space or something to that extent. And they give you 70 gigabytes of bandwidth. And I found that to be very fast and actually very good. And I think they'd be a good choice for you guys anyways. I used to actually use them to host CanadianTechie.com before I moved to my own server. And really, for what you guys need, Kanika would do you just fine. But, I mean, send me an email back. We'll figure something out. And, I don't know, I could donate a bit of my space on my server so that we can get both those formats going. Because I think AUG's great. I use AUG on my Ubuntu all the time because it's supported right away. So I guess I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. See you later.
Yeah, all that's right. What he said. Thank you, David McDonald, who, of course, runs the Canadian Techie.
My question to Dave is $20 American or $20 Canadian?
A.
Because what's the exchange rate going on around these days? It's a lot closer than what it used to be.
Yeah, what is it, A?
Dan's yelling at his kids in the bath.
Probably $20 Canadian, but it's, you know, and we're pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Anyway, you know.
Hi, this is Dave, your Canadian techie. You know what? When I'm compiling Gentoo in an igloo, I like to listen to the Linux League Tech Show.
Yeah. And there he is again. And he likes listening to the Linux League Tech Show just like the rest of you do. Otherwise, you would never hear me telling you that the rest of you do or something. It's been a really long day.
For a long time, man. 2 hours.
Dan's got his kids in the tub until they turn it into prunes or something like
How's
that.
How's the bath going?
I guess it's cold now. 2 hours will do that. I like the way how Pat standed up so he could give the beer the chair.
Yeah, there you go.
He's giving the chair.
Gotta have priorities in life, my friend.
And what's tonight's beer of choice there, gentlemen?
This is a local beer from a brewery here in eastern Pennsylvania called Weyerbacher. And the brew that we are drinking is called Blithering Idiot.
Weyerbacher beer.
It's a barley wine style.
I thought you were going to give me one of them.
You want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were good. Well, I have one of those. So, yes, in fact, for your listening pleasure and information, we at the Linux Link Tech Show, like most other Linux people, do indeed drink beer.
Cheers.
Yeehaw.
Beer.
Not me, though, but.
Blithering Idiot.
It's good stuff.
This
man.
Is really good. And I'm not really a beer drinker, but that's really good. Okay.
And you know what's even better?
What's
it's
that?
Free.
It's free, yes.
Free for us.
Free is better.
I bought
yet.
Dude, that's what's great about Pat. He arranges all the guests. He brings the beer.
Hey, man. I don't,
he even talks.
I don't mind like supporting the local economy here in Pennsylvania.
Wait a minute. He does all three of those things. What does Alan do?
Alan I bring equipment. I come with equipment.
Alan brings the equipment. Right?
Alan bought the mixer.
So I have the service.
I've got to go out
what
and buy.
What does Link do?
He's I'm going to go out and buy a compressor soon,
I don't
too.
Do anything.
Yeah, we got to get a compressor, man.
I'm the entertainment. That's what it is.
Oof.
A compressor. What are we going to do? Pump up tires in here?
Nah, it's an audio compressor.
Blow dust out of the computer.
It evens out.
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I know what a compressor is.
Evens out the spikes in volume.
It was a joke, guys.
Keeps it nice and smooth.
Wow, it just gets more and more equipment over that end of the table.
You know, and I had, this killed me because I had like 3 or 4 things that I wanted to talk about. When we got on the air tonight, and
can't remember
you just
anything.
Went,
now
just
after
blank.
You know, now after talking back and forth with Dan and Alan, and Alan actually does talk. Believe it or not, folks, Alan, he talks like a slick schoolgirl, man. You can't get him to shut up before the show. He talks about everything.
It's when that live light goes on, you know.
Yeah, we get the little live buzzer on. It's gone.
He crawls up into a little ball in the corner of the room here.
Starts crying, holding his diaper.
It would be the same reason that I've been a ham radio operator for 15 years, and I think I've talked like 3 times on it.
No, but that's a cheap hand setup, right? You only have to buy the speaker, not the microphone.
That's good deal.
I went all the way on most of the stuff I bought, but it still was like, I think I talked like three times on it.
I know what I was going to say. I watched a movie yesterday.
Boy.
National Treasure.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a good. Reg that's Blog. A good geeky movie, man. If you guys haven't seen that, go out and see it. That's pretty cool.
I didn't see that yet. I saw Hitchhikers.
How was that?
Guide Did to the you? Galaxy. I read the books.
Don't spoil it for me, because I haven't seen it yet.
Well, see, the way it ends, if you read the books, is the way it ends in the book. No. My opinion was true to the book.
All right.
And I think I read a review on, it was on Slashdot. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a bad movie. I don't think it was as funny as the books. I really don't think it was. It's still a good movie. It's something to watch. Now, I thought, if I'm not mistaken, in the books, isn't Trish McMillian, isn't she an alien in the book?
They're all aliens except him.
Right.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
But she's not in the movie.
Now I'm going to have to go back and reread the book because it's been a while.
You guys remember the old miniseries from BBC from like 81, 82? PBS, like over the weekend, you know, they have their annual drive, and they put something halfway cool on for once, and they were showing the old miniseries from the early 80s, and it was pretty cool. I saw a couple episodes.
You know, that's the funniest thing. Like, I do not remember the miniseries at all.
I do.
No, I probably never watched PBS though that time either. So.
I didn't. Well, that's the killer thing is I remember that I watched it, but like I don't remember anything about it.
One of the two episodes I saw.
My misplaced youth was, or something like that.
The restaurant at the end of the universe. That was a cool episode.
Well, they set it up for that.
You mean the movie?
Yeah, the movie set it up.
Yeah, because the books, what are they, three, four? I forget.
Five.
I read like two or three of them.
There's Hitchhikers, Restaurant at the End of the Universe.
The Life of the Universe, everything.
Everything, So Long, Thanks for All the Fish, and something. Isn't it one that's Detective Agency or something?
Yeah, I've got them all. They put out a hardcover that had them all in one.
Right, trilogy in five parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there was the Infocom game, which was butt hard. And did you ever play it?
No.
And then there was another game that came out a couple years ago that was graphical. But I
the guy died, right? Douglas Adams? He died a couple years ago.
Wasn't that last year?
It was recent.
Now, did the National Treasure, did that go into the Illuminati at all?
No.
Because I know they were like Eye of the
Freemasons?
Pyramid,
so. No. I did Freemasonry and
First rule about Illuminati is you don't talk about the Illuminati.
I thought that was Fight Club.
Well, it could That's be, it Tech could Show. Be. First rule about TLTS, you don't talk about TLTS.
Yeah.
And nor do we prep.
First rule of Tech Show, you don't prep for Tech Show. Second rule of Tech Show, you prep 10 minutes after Tech Show starts.
Third rule of Tech Show, there are no rules for Tech Show. I don't know.
Trillion came from Earth. That's what everyone's saying.
I thought she was also an alien that was on Earth. Maybe I'm mixed up.
Time to reread the book.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We should probably talk some like tech stuff, though, right? So, here we go.
Do you want to get that, Alan? Hand it to me. Because it's probably the wife telling me she's late.
Wouldn't you know that already? Because she's not here?
Yeah.
She's late and to leave the kids in for another half an hour.
Now, for those of you who do not check out our weblogs, Alan got a new computer.
Yes. I'm quite happy, too.
Alan got a marketers.
Bitchin' new computer.
I'm quite happy with it, too.
What kind of motherboard?
I have no clue. It's whatever came in the box. We dealt with a little Chinese lady and
Asus?
Got set up good. Yeah, I think it is that.
MSI?
How could you not know what kind of... Is because it AMD or is it...
He bought the same computer I got.
Oh, so you have...
It's a mirror of links.
So you have a AMD processor.
No.
No, Pentium 4.
Pentium 4, 3 gigahertz. 512 mega DDR. How big is the hard drive?
80 gig.
80? 80 gig hard. 80 gig hard. Oh, oh, oh. 80 gig hard drive. Runs
and got a nice deal on that little 15-inch flat screen.
Yeah. Flat screen. Runs Slackware like a bat out of hell, man.
Yes.
Absolutely dead, stable, solid. No problems with it at all. And by golly, Alan even got his, like he said, we got him a deal on a used 15-inch flat panel.
Yeah.
For what was it?
$125
for a 15-inch, it's IBM something or other.
Yeah.
Nice looking.
Yeah, no dead dead pixels or stuck pixels or anything like that.
Awesome.
Well, it could be, but you know, if it lasts me for a year, it's still worth money.
That's how much was it again? Awesome. $160
$125
$125
That's
nice.
That's awesome.
Now, when you bought it, did they try and sell you Windows on it?
She asked if I wanted. I was like, no, don't worry about it, because they're going to charge me like $90 for it anyways. But
and how much did you say that you were going to run Linux on it?
Yeah, which got like the blanks there. The kids seemed to know what we were going to do.
Yeah, the kids,
least,
oh, yeah, Linux,
or at least
I run
talked well about it.
Did I run them Fedora.
Did you did you wear your Linux shirt? Any Linux shirt?
I didn't have
it. I might have had
one. I don't have one anyways.
Did you run into the dickhead?
No.
He went with the dickhead.
No, the other dickhead.
They both went.
They both went. Listen to him. Listen to her.
Now, this is at the Allentown Fairgrounds.
Yes.
You didn't invite anybody else, did you? Yeah. You two going out on dates or something on the weekends.
Yeah, well, you know, he's cuter than
you.
Do you
guys
are.
Have lunch together?
Yeah.
Why, yes, we did.
As a matter of
farmer's
fact.
Farmer's market? Pizzeria in the farmer's market?
No, man. The Allentown Fairgrounds, that little place in the back that makes the...
I was good because I stayed away from the pinball convention that was there. Because Lord knows I would have come home with a pinball machine last weekend, too. So I was good and stayed away from that one.
That was fun. But, like, Alan has a real computer now for the first time.
Sweet.
How long?
8 years.
I think we all have, like, fairly new machines now.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right. Dan just got his new one.
I need to get a new server is what I need.
What's wrong with your server?
I'm running out of space.
You need more hard drive. You need more hard drive space, but that doesn't mean you need a new server.
Well, I might as well get a new one, because if I buy a used hard drive, the only like hard drive I'm going to be able to fit in there is a used one.
Well, yeah.
And if I go buy a new one, that's going to, you know, then I'm going to have to buy a new motherboard and everything.
I'm sorry.
Or an IDE card that would support it, and that's a waste of money.
I'm selling one of my bases on eBay. I'm going to get a new system.
All your base belong to us.
No, this is my Music Man Stingray bass, man. It's a kick-ass bass. I'm letting it go. It's on auction right now as we speak.
How much is it going for right
now? Let's see how much it's going
for. Pull it
up.
It was around $810. I'm hoping to get at least $900 for it.
Wow.
I'm looking at a dual Opteron system.
There we go. Hey, you know what? You get the 64-bit system,
dying,
Windows XP 64.
I'm dying to get an AMD
right
64
out.
System, man.
Right around the corner.
I really want to try it out. I haven't decided
G5.
Which distro I'm going to run. I'm thinking either Ubuntu or maybe Fedora. I don't know. SUSE, you got to pay $100. It's not cheap. So. Ernie Bull, Music Man Stingray.
Something.
Prior to the show, I played around with XGL.
Yes,
yeah, about that.
That was slick looking, man.
Yeah, but I couldn't get Wamea to compile. So
your wavy Windows. Something,
I didn't get
something.
The wavy Windows. All I
what
got
the
was
hell is that anyway?
One down, two down.
Wavy Windows.
One more, that's
remember that. Well, if you go to the Theora website,
okay.
There's a link on there for examples of Theora files,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was like from XGL, and it shows the wavy windows where the guy moves the window around, like the X-term window around, and it wiggles as he moves
it.
True transparency. I can get the true transparency by running Fluxbox in it, but I haven't figured out how to get the wavy windows. I mean,
that was
nice.
Kind of cool, and that's going to be a direct replacement for, I guess, Xorg, right? Kind of thing.
Well, it's going to be integrated maybe one day in Xorg, XGL. It was really easy to compile, honestly. I followed the, I was at, looking through Jono Bacon. What is it, Jono?
Jono.
Yeah.
Jono, you're going to piss him off. He'll be sending us dirty, nasty messages again.
My mistake. I always say Jono every other time, and then I got thinking the wrong way in my head. But I followed off of one of Jono Bacon's blog links. And I'll post it on the the chat about what it was, but it was really easy. All you do is just pull it down off the excerpt. But what's a little confusing about it was when you pull it down and you follow the directions on that website.
It doesn't work.
No, it does work.
It's a little confusing, though.
Let me see if I can pop that right into the... working through... Anyway, I'll pop it in just a minute. When you follow the directions on there, actually, what you have to end up doing, it's one of those things where you have... it's a really simple script to follow, and you download it from the CVS, the sources, and then you get to the point where you actually have to break out of this how-to and move over to the actual Xserve how-to and download the and install the Xserve off of the freedesktop.org site and compile that and install it. But basically what you do is you're going to be installing it into the opt/fdo for freedesktop.org directory. So everything runs out of there. So you have to set
words.
Your like library paths and everything when okay. you start to execute this stuff. Once you install that, then you go back, you compile the XGL stuff, and you're good to go. Rock and roll. It's pretty easy overall if you follow the steps. And if you've done compiling of software before and you're fairly familiar with doing that, anybody who runs Gentoo have no problem doing it.
Watch that compiler going.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I enjoy doing that stuff a lot more now since I have a fast machine.
It's still friggin' dog slow.
Yeah, but it's a lot more fun. Like, before when I was doing compiles on my 950 megahertz machine, which, you know, was pretty fast considering some of the machines I run it. But it would just, you know, just annoy the hell out of me. And now with that 3 gigahertz screamer, man, that's nice. It'd
still take you 2 days to compile
that's
KDE.
Nice.
Still, if
I was to want to run Gentoo, but I prefer the superiority of Slackware. So,
but really, on my system, total compiling time took me about no more than 20 minutes.
Evil emails now,
and that's for everything Boom. That I was messing around with. 20 minutes. It was really easy. There's a script that'll just pull it all down and compile it for you.
But this is just basically a test thing now, right?
Right. It's it is a test. So it's not going to replace your current. X server.
They're looking to integrate those
but
kind
you just
of features.
Play around with it. I mean, I dig true transparency. I think that's pretty cool.
Gotta have
I
a good
like
video
it.
Card, man. As long as you got a good card, it's
yeah.
It's
but totally... I mean, you know, you buy a new system today. Any just about any video card that comes in a new system is should be enough to run some basic stuff.
Yeah.
Especially if it's an NVIDIA card. NVIDIA, I think some ATI cards are all right.
You know, I've never bought an ATI card. I've never had one. On Linux.
See, I got burned a few years ago when I was standing in the store back when I would buy stuff at Best Buy when I was an idiot.
You go to Best Buy?
This is going back, like, oh, man. This would be about 5.5, 6 years ago. I was sitting in there, and I'm like, huh, what sound card should I buy? Should I buy the Aureal, or should I buy the Sound Blaster? I've always bought Sound Blaster. Why don't I try something different? So I bought the Aureal card, right?
Didn't work.
And it worked fine. Yeah. But then Aureal was dropped out of business. Went out of business, dropped out of sight, and then
and so did all support for the card.
Well, no, not really. It worked in Linux, but what ended up happening was every time you get a new kernel and you recompile it, the support for the Aureal card would lag behind by a significant amount of time. That eventually I just gave up and ripped it out of my system and. Through a Sound Blaster 16 in there.
Yeah.
Until I got the Sound Blaster Live. And now I'm running the Happy Do Day AC97 codec cards.
Me too.
Integrated audio. Woo!
It's all integrated nowadays.
Sucky stuff.
Yeah. Well, I lucked out. Mine actually works.
Yeah, because you got like one of the versions that actually has some support with it. I mean, support where like you can actually turn the volume up and down. And, of course, Alan and I got the other version where it's either on full blast
really?
Or off.
I wasn't even able to get mine on full blast.
Ah, well, that's because I went through like 14 driver compiles in order to get that so that it turned on full blast.
My $25 MSI card, my MythBox, has got the good one. You can go up and down.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got a good buddy that gave me Sound Blaster Live.
That's a good card.
That I popped in my box and I used that, and boy, that That sounds pretty.
And you gave
it
you
works
a sound blast
real alive. Good. You did.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dork.
What a buddy.
I was thinking, wait a minute, did I give him my sound blast alive card or not? Is that?
Is it sound, a sound blast alive or something? Anyway.
We'll you know what? Next week.
Next
the
week.
The authors of Firefox and Thunderbird Garage?
Possibly, yes.
Possibly.
I still have to harass them.
Yeah. I got to say, me too. Firefox, WeatherFox, I think is an ideal replacement for WeatherBug. For people who got to know
like
what's
that?
Going on. I liked it. I put it on there. I've said to myself the past couple weeks, I have no idea what the forecast is. You know, I don't know. People say, is it going to rain today? I'm like, I don't know.
Partly cloudy, 51 degrees now.
But see, there you
with
go.
WeatherFox, I do know. And I know 5 days in advance. And it doesn't take up system resources or phone home to the mothership. Whenever I
phone home to the
out.
Mothership.
Ian Murdoch is a definite.
Why should there be like some gigantic like George Clinton P-Funk thing? Return to the mothership.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've actually moved over my RSS aggregator for reading blogs. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to the live bookmarks in Firefox. I mean, I do like Snow News, but I don't know. I just tried it out again. My only problem with the live bookmarks is when you get the live bookmark feed, you don't know what you've already read.
Right, because they don't follow. It's not a portable thing. It follows your individual browser around.
Right. If you actually click on a link.
That's why I use blog lines. Now, everybody complains about that, but I really like it.
That's blocked where I work. They block blog lines.
You get to do something else.
I can go around it, but I don't want to do that. But what I don't like is, it would be nice if I go to your blog and I read the first two entries in your blog.
Right.
Or actually it would be the last two.
Right.
And if I look at that live bookmark again, it doesn't indicate at all that I've read those.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm still in the same session, there's no indication that I read them. Which,
You should turn all those compiling skills to good use and write some kind of applet that will let you save your.
Yeah, you know, there's an extension out there that I'm not aware of. I don't know.
Mark S. says, "What's Bloglines? Go to bloglines.com. It's an online news feed aggregator that you can get a free account on." And it'll, you know, collect all your RSS feeds for your news and your websites that you like to read, and keeps track of it all for you. And it's, you know, you can hit it from wherever you have web access, so it's not, you know, machine dependent or browser dependent or anything like that.
Davey,
it's nice. Hey, yes, it is time for our first feature guest. If Dan would be so kind as to connect us to him. And that would be the ever popular.
Yeah, just turn that up.
Turn it up a little
bit. This is Dave.
There
you
go,
Dave.
Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles.
Evil Genius Chronicles.
Gentlemen,
are you
Dan?
Evil and are you a genius?
How you doing? Thank you. You know, I have a question for Dave, but now I got to go down and get my iRiver because I forget the actual name of the guy I had a question about.
You forget so, the guy, the name of the guy you had
you'll
a question.
You don't want to ask a question.
Okay. How you doing, Dave? It's great to have you on the show.
It's good to be on.
And it's too bad it took us so long to convince you to get on the show. We should have you on. It's a regular because, you know, I listen to your show and I think you're cool. And that's the big thing. If you don't think Dave Slusher is cool, you know, go away.
You've never listened to his show.
Go away. That's all there is to it.
Well, thank you.
Hey, it's well deserved. You're one of the people who, I guess, podcasters is the appropriate term. Anyway, one of the podcasters that we all listen
originals.
To. Yeah, that has really anything decent to say once in a while. Most of them.
Well, I think one of my deals is that I don't have so much built-in cachet that I don't think I have an automatic audience.
There you go.
You have to work for it like the rest of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, you tend to have interesting content and stuff like that and some technical related stuff and really good music, which brings up, you know, that's like an intro to one of the questions that I really wanted to ask you was where do you get all this music from?
Steals it.
Yeah.
To be honest, actually, before I say that, let me say I now feel the pain of like Richard Stallman and all those people who, when they talk about the loopback in their headphones.
Yeah.
God almighty, this is crazy.
It's Dan's fault.
Yep. Blame it on
but,
Dan.
Now, the most of the artists that I play on there, I already knew about. You'll notice it leans very heavily into Atlanta local artists. And so these are a lot of people that I already knew about, that I listened to, you know, went to their shows when I was in Atlanta.
How was Atlanta? Was it a boring place?
Atlanta, when I was there the first time, like when I went to school at Georgia Tech from 85 to 90, fantastic. I loved it. I loved the music scene. Thought it was a great place. Didn't particularly ever want to leave. Went out of town after I graduated to take a job. We were back in 93 to 95. I thought it was okay. It seemed like something, you know, wasn't quite as good. We moved back in 2000, and we couldn't wait to get the hell out of there.
And now it's on to Conway, South Carolina.
That is correct.
Which nice is area.
We get our virtual, visual, and auditory tours directly from you to learn all about Conway, South Carolina.
And your pictures on Flickr.
And a Flickr.
Yeah, pictures. One of the things I'm starting to use Flickr for is to put some of these pictures up of Conway so people get an actual visual of this crazy stuff I talk about.
How far are you from Savannah?
Oh, we're about 70 miles from Charleston. So what's that about? About another hour to Savannah from there? Maybe about two and a half hours from Savannah.
Charleston's a nice town.
Yeah. One of the disturbing things about house hunting here was the number of times the other professors at the college said, you have to drive to Charleston to do that. Like, you know, if you want to see that kind of movie, you're going to have to drive to Charleston. No, we don't have that kind of store here. You're going to have to drive to Charleston. So after a while, I was like, what the hell do they have here then?
Where are you originally from, Chicago?
I actually grew up in Nebraska and Kansas.
Midwest. So like,
originally, I was from there. And then we've moved around a lot in the last 15 years, like five different states and eight different cities, and it's been horrible.
So I know that you're Rob.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry,
Dan's telling
Dave,
me to
I
shut up
to
over here. He's waving his arm
a little bit there. But what part of South Carolina do you live in? Is it east or west? Or central?
It's the coastal. It's like north of coastal.
Okay.
We're about 10 miles from Myrtle Beach.
It's nice area.
Okay, because
nice
my mother-in-law just bought a bed and breakfast in South Carolina. But unfortunately, she's
not inviting you.
Yeah. Seriously, man, let's go.
I'm going down there in a couple of weeks, but it's in the west.
Let's get the families together, man.
South
everybody
Carolina,
load
so
up
I'll
and
be
go.
On the opposite end of the state.
Road trip. Everybody meet up at Dave Slusher's house.
Sorry.
Well, what you'd notice if you came down here is that you guys would probably have an accent that's like the most common in this town. Like,
really?
Everyone has Boston accents and New York accents and Connecticut accents and Maine accents.
Well, the only person from Pennsylvania is Dan. I'm from New York City originally. Link is from upstate New York, and Alan's from Jersey.
Jersey.
Born here, lived here, die here from.
You're the local yokel.
Hopefully that super tsunami will come in, and I'll have beachfront property soon.
Sure. Hey. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. If it gets rid of, you know, some of the garbage dump of New Jersey, that's great close by, I guess. There's another hate mail generating comment.
So Dave, are you making money? Are you part of this, this whole podcast show thing that?
We get some serious questions now.
Adam Curry's
go for the throat.
If anybody doesn't know what's happening, is Adam Curry is getting his closest friends, and he got him some time on Sirius Radio. This is a pretty big deal, man. You know, podcasters are going to be on satellite radio. This is really big.
Well, I don't know the terms of the Sirius deal, and I'm pretty sure that it's outside of that group of the pod show. You know, like the five or so shows that are on pod show, because there's just not enough stuff to fill up that 4 hours every day with that.
We do an hour and a half.
Well, yeah.
But not daily.
I guess if people are making money, then what we might see is, you know, Don and Drew start doing, you know, an hour a day or something like that. If they made so much money that it was quit the day job.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So as to the question of am I making money, I am making a little money. I'm making some dribs and drabs. I am, let's put it this way, I'm grossing some money. I'm not really netting anything.
So you're paying expenses, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got, you know, a server box to pay off and that kind of stuff. I'm not reaching deep into my pockets to do this. If you really worked it out since the beginning of the podcast era, I'm probably at or very close to break even.
Cool. And whom are your sponsors other than your pod-catching client people?
iPodRx.
Bash Potter.
iPodRx is the only sponsor, but
I'll tell you what, Dave. I will give you a $5 discount on Bash Potter. Okay,
you're gonna send me $5?
Yep. I'll send you $5 if you use it. There you go.
Yeah. So I have iPodRx as the sponsor, and although I make some money, I don't make a whole lot of money off that. What that was the like seed cash that got the T-shirt stuff going.
Oh, cool.
And so, honestly, I have made significantly more money off selling those T-shirts and CDs than I have off of sponsorship.
Hmm. Awesome. What are they charging for iPodder now?
I think it's $20, 15 if you use the coupon code.
BashPodder works on every platform except Windows.
No, mm-hmm. It does work on Windows, too.
Oh, really?
What, yes, it does.
Using what, Sigwin?
No, you have to install the Unix tools for Windows.
I want to claim a little tiny bit of the DNA of Bash Potter in the fact that didn't you write Bash Potter because you didn't like the one I wrote?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And there you have it. So, you know, the whole Bash Potter phenomenon, the millions and millions of downloads are directly attributable to Dave.
To the suckiness of Dave's client.
No, it doesn't. It didn't suck. It, you know, I don't know whether it sucked or not. It just didn't work.
No, you had to download. You had to install modules, and that's what sent you packing.
It's Bash based.
It's just one of my personal hangups. Like I don't want to deal with CPAN, and you know, at 12 o'clock in the morning. So.
Like it's like 10 lines of code, right? It's about 10 lines, 10-15 lines.
No, it was more than that because I had some. It started out really small. It probably started at maybe 20-25, and then I added like smart cache handling and stuff like that. The one thing that the legacy of getting closures that actually, you know, I mean, I'm just BSing about this, but the actual real legacy is that Joshua Kinberg and the Ant Project started with getting closures as kind of their, you know, their booster pack so that they didn't have to start from scratch.
Cool.
Now, Dave, in regards to making money off of podcasting
mm-hmm.
through RSS, now, honestly, I am out of the loop from the original core of podcasts that I've listened to, sticking mainly with IT Conversations and whatever's been offered by DDP Hack Radio, and of course our show, and all the Linux podcasts. How, for our audience who might be curious, how are podcasters making money? And I've known, in conjunction with that, I listened to a lot of things talk about implementing ads in RSS feeds, and has mm-hmm. it gotten there yet? And what's your opinion of cluttering up RSS with ads?
Well, it's as to RSS and ads, definitely some of the ones I get do have ads in them, and I have ads in a couple ways. Seems like Gizmodo or Engadget or one of those guys has actual like footer ads in some, but not all of the items in the RSS. And then they started recently. Feedster, I get complete ads or complete items that are nothing but an ad. So, you know, I'll get things that I've subscribed to Feedster for plus some ads. You know, like every fifth item or something like that is an ad, which very recent, and it kind of bugs the crap out of me.
That's dirty. That's playing dirty. I don't like that at all.
What, like letting yourself become an essential part of the infrastructure and then sort of flipping on the ad switch.
Exactly, yeah.
I just want to tell all your listeners, too, I am not drunk. It's really this loopback that's making me sound as if I'm half in the bag.
Well, we're drunk.
We're getting
so.
There. We're sucking down some of this blithering idiot, some local brew.
We're not supposed to have a loopback through Skype.
No, we're not. We're going to have to look into it.
Somewhere in your thing, like whatever you're recording me on, like you're in whatever thing that's going back to me, you've got me fed into it. There's some kind of lack of isolation.
We're looping
that.
Through our mixer. Yeah. We're going to fix that, though, because I have put my foot down and decided that what we really need to do is get separate.
We
mixers.
Got Alan on it now. It's going to get
fixed. He's pulling
fixed.
Cords. He's twisting knobs.
It's either going to get fixed or we're going to cut
we're
out.
We're done.
Okay, but I started farting around and I didn't actually finish answering the question.
Oh, okay,
so, as to people making money, I mean, I got to say, you guys talk to Doc Searles. I do nothing if not talk up Doc Searles and read Doc Searles and think about him. Mm-hmm. And Doc has this thing he talks about, which is kind of really affected my thinking, and I've internalized it, and this is my mission in life, is to explain the difference between making money with something and making money because of something. Mm-hmm. Did he talk to you guys about that?
No, this is we got him right before he really gave a whole lot of thought to podcasting.
We don't talk about money. Mm-hmm. We just throw it
out
the window.
But he does the same thing with blogs.
Right.
He does the same thing with blogs where he talks about how think of a blog as like your telephone. And if you're at your job, whatever you do, chances are you use a telephone at some point. The telephone itself as an item, as a service, as a thing, for you does not have a business model. It's just a tool. It's a thing you use. And so he said, think about your blog as kind of at that level. It's a thing you use, and you make money because of it, but you don't make money with it, right? You don't charge people, except in a few rare circumstances, like – us as individuals, we're not going to charge people to call us. You know, you're not going to set up a 976 call the Linux Link tech show. You know, probably not going to happen. But you know, but using this to get to do the thing that will make you money, that's kind of, if you can think about it that way. And so the t-shirt sales, and bear in mind too that I'm also, you know, part of the whole thing is I sell not just a shirt but the CD for the band that gives me their theme song. You know, wholesaled from them so that they're making – every time I sell these things, they're making a couple bucks too, which was really important to me to kind of bring everyone to the table who has, you know, kind of – you know, they gave me a grant of their music for free, and I said, well, what can I do to make them money? And so it's one of those things where it's not making money with it. It's making money because of it, if you see the distinction.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, in that same vein, if you do – have commercials and you make money off of podcasting, mm-hmm. How does that limit you with being able to use Creative Commons work or some of the actual Creative Commons music? Does that really limit you, or is it?
I'm of the opinion. I've been thinking about this a lot, because that's an excellent question, because that has come up. It's like, well, I have a sponsor and I do this other stuff and I sell this t-shirt. Does that mean I have cut myself off from the, you know, the non-commercial Creative Commons attributed stuff, which, you know, I don't want to – it's like, well, geez. If that's the case, then you kind of get into a fine line. It's like, well, which is more important to me? I mean, you know, I'm not making that much money that it would kill me if I got out of that. On the other hand, you know, it's like, well, where is the line? I'm kind of of the opinion it's like the difference between a nonprofit organization and a company. There's no particular net thing. There's no profit motive, and you know, any extra money that this stuff brings in, it just gets plowed back in, right? So from that perspective,
it's not like
it's not really a for profit.
Right?
Yeah, it's like if there were more money coming in, I would buy more better stuff. And I would buy, you know, more bandwidth and stuff like that. There's no distribution out of the EGC funds into Dave's pocket.
We're doing it for the love of it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if I ended up netting enough money, I'd buy me one of them badass Marantz solid state recorders, or you know,
kick-ass nice mixer,
nice Electro Voice microphones and stuff. You know, nice I'd basically here. Just be enriching Guitar Center if I got enough money.
Musician's friend.
Yes, exactly. So I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. And now, you know, I don't know if technically and legally that's the way you look at it, but you know, honestly, who would find me even if I'm violating the letter? I think only the hardest ass would find me violating the spirit of it.
Now that you mentioned the hardest ass, you know, we did just talk to Richard Stallman.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my lord!
There we go again.
He might be banging at your door any second now.
He's to the left of Karl Marx.
No, you know what? He would.
I thought I was far left. I thought I was far left.
You are my
and
friend.
And holy crap, I felt like William Buckley listening to that thing.
He would agree with Rich Dave using whatever the hell he wants to.
Well, yeah.
He'd be like, screw him.
Yep, screw him. Yeah. Everything's free.
The point where he said it's unethical and immoral to use software you've paid for.
Right.
I read his blog, and he was talking about hanging out with Chavez down in Venezuela. We'll leave it at that.
Yikes. So.
Hey, Dave, what I really want to know is this. I listen to your show all the time, and you always make references as to flying back and forth on a plane to Chicago, and you work for this company who you haven't named, and I won't ask you to name them. But I want to know, like, what the hell do you do for them? You know what I mean?
Well, I can be a little discreet. I'm not going to name them. It's a startup.
Okay.
And there was a reason for being kind of cryptic and, you know, kind of off the radar in that it's a startup, and it's in the kind of manufacturing industry doing ERP software. And I didn't want to leak any information because essentially none of the competitors knew this company was coming.
Uh-huh.
And so this trade show that I talked about that we went to kind of debuted the company, and it was like a bus came out of nowhere and hit everybody because nobody knew it was. It's essentially doing ERP in a hosted environment, like an ASP model,
right?
ERP,
and which is kind of unusual in the ERP world because typically, you know, you go out and you buy $200,000 to $1 million system. So the notion of kind of subscribing and being able to pay as you go, you know, a relatively cheap subscription fee rather than having upfront costs and all these things on your ledgers is kind of attractive. And it was – so I didn't really talk about it because I didn't want to – you know, I just wanted to stay – the company as a whole was staying off the radar until we, you know, basically came out at this trade show.
Right.
So but that's what I do. I write ERP software as my day job.
So you're a coder. You're not like a systems administrator or –
I write code.
Hardware techie or?
Well, it's a very small startup, so, you know, I'm kind of a little bit DB administrator and a little bit system administrator. And,
aha.
You know.
This should do it all.
Kind of a half-assed of whatever needs to be done.
And I have made note that you do have a Linux server. I keep hearing yes, mention of the Linux server.
Yes, I do.
Which of course runs what?
Fedora Core 2 right now.
Oh, we'll get too behind.
Oh.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't really particularly stay up on that, just because, you know, it's. Honestly, what's it going to change my life between if I upgrade to another distro? It's like every couple of years is fine with me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the great thing about Linux is that you don't have to.
Seriously, install it, let it run.
It'll run, you know?
Like that, where was it? Was it Duke? Or it was somewhere in North Carolina where they had the server that got drywalled.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
You remember hearing that story? That. Where they're pinging this thing, and there's a machine, and they don't know where it is, and it turns out it had spent like 4 years where they had walled up this thing, and the server was still in there running.
Yeah. Back in a closet somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it, but... Other than your server, what do you run on your normal desktop? You running Mac OS X or what?
All right, let's get serious. I'm looking at my desk.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you the computers left to right.
All right. We want pictures left. Too, so you know, hook us up with a Flickr account and get some pictures up there.
Starting at the left, we got a desktop, blue and white, G3 Mac.
Yeah.
We We got sitting on the desk, we got my iBook, which is G4 iBook, about a year old. Then we've got the all the PCs are ones that were various jobs had bought me, and then I just kept after I no longer work there.
That's the way to do it, man.
I've got a Dell desktop, and that's running Windows 2000, which, if it wasn't necessary for work compatibility, would get wiped in an absolute Texas second. And then I got another old Dell that's the Fedora Core 2 box. Next to that, as I resurrected my old PowerPC, the Performa 6400, as solely a MAME box, because the one joystick I have is ADB, and it's the only thing it really runs on.
Cool.
So it does nothing but plays MAME every time I boot it up, which is mostly Elevator Direction and Galaga.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, you own the actual...
Of course he owns the ROMs for the
Arcade version. Sure, I went out to a junkyard and I bought an old junked Galaga machine and an old junk.
Of course he does.
I figured you did. I just wanted to make sure. So that our listeners know you do it the right way.
Did any of you guys ever go out to... What was the company? Legal ROMs? Was that the name of the company? Do you remember this company?
No fucking clue.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh.
There we go. We're off the tech podcast again.
We're off the tech podcast thing again.
Shit.
Dang.
I think you had way too many beers.
Honestly, you know how hard it's been to talk, 25 minutes without swearing? Good God almighty.
Hey, listen,
Jesus
man,
Christ.
We're not Lug Radio, right?
That's funny. Oh, so anyway, I always thought, like, with ROMs, would you, if somebody said, you know what, pay us $50 and we will send you the CD with, you know, 1,000 ROMs on it for, you know, all licensed and legal, would you pay the $50?
No.
No, probably not.
That's a lot of money.
What is this, 40 or 30?
I could go down to the Market Pro
man.
Show and buy that Nintendo CD.
If I had that option, I would do it.
I think I might do
it. If you could go to Best Buy and just pick up on the shelf a CD with, you know, every ROM that Williams ever put out for some, you know, non-punitive price, would you do? I would do it.
Yeah, probably.
The same reason I've started buying stuff at Magnatune. You know, it's like, you know, in the kind of attention economy, it's like throw the money towards the things you want more of.
Sure.
Well, look at that, Dave. You brought it right around at Magnitude, which I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because this is how backlogged I am. I just listened to the IT Conversations Voices in Your Head.
With Buckman?
With John Buckman. Yesterday it was. And it was recorded on February 24th. Yeah. I'm a little backlogged on ITC stuff. But Ben Rev, I'm right on top of this. Anyway, we were talking with John Buckman, who is the founder of Magnatune Records. Of course, their slogan is "We Are Not Evil." And you had brought up about someone like who was it? You used an example. It was Elvis Costello, I think. Was that it? Who was releasing singles? And John,
he wasn't doing it. He was talking about doing
right.
it.
Right. And John Buckman's response was he doesn't think that would be a viable economic process for a band to follow. And he then later on went on to say that one of the reasons was because adults buy music by like CD. They want an hour long worth of music from the band. Do you think that's kind of getting close to an outdated viewpoint?
I think so. Actually, that I didn't really push it with him on that, but I think he's absolutely bass ackwards on that. I think the fact that, you know, people have bought, I don't know the breakdown at the iTunes Music Store, but of that 250 million downloads that they have sold, I guarantee that's not, you know, 30 million full albums. That's probably more like, you know, a million full albums and 200 million individual song downloads. I mean, I think he's wrong on that. I think it's just from his perspective, because he's got like transaction costs and things like that. It makes sense to him to bundle it together into a $5 to $18 transaction rather than having lots of $1 and $2 transactions. I mean, I don't think it's because the demand's not there. I absolutely disagree with him on that.
Because I was thinking, I mean, a lot of stuff that I'm listening to is saying we're really moving towards this, you know, quick, small package economy where, you know, you want like a sound bite or just a quick, you know, music that you might not be interested in a full album, but you want
a bunch of idiots. That's what the problem is.
Who's a bunch of idiots?
America is, man.
Well, you know, it's a whole new generation coming around.
Dumbing down of America, man.
I don't think it's a dumbing down of America. I would rather have one good song than an album of, you know, stuff that I'm not interested in. Well, I'm just saying.
I think the single is still a viable. I mean, there's a reason why we bought all these damn singles when we were kids, right? It's because
there's a time when there's one song you want to go out and you want to get,
and you know, I still somewhere in this house, I still got a box of my old, you know, whatever Donnie and Marie singles and crap like that.
What, Donnie and Marie? The outing of Dave Slusher.
But even so, I mean, the equipment and the power of technology today is making it possible for just, you know, somebody, the kid next door to me, could actually put together a song and release it on internet as a single. True. Maybe not a full
album,
but it makes it easier, and I think we're going to see more and more of that.
Yes, absolutely. See, I think it's the opposite of the dumbing down, because if you can get into a new song by a new band or even a new genre you've never heard for a buck, instead of, you know, sinking in 18 every time you want to try something, it gives you that much more. You can go experiment without a lot of risk, right? You go try it, and if it sucks, you're out a buck, you're out $2. You didn't buy a full CD and then go, oh wait, you know, I don't even really like this. There's one song I like, and then, you know, 10 that are crap.
Good point.
So, I mean, I think this is what I've noticed, and I think somewhere in here, I don't know who all I have said this to, but I have noticed the iTunes shared playlist phenomenon, which is anytime you go to, like, say you go to a conference, or it happens anywhere where you're on kind of a subnet together. It used to happen when I worked at Orbitz. I'd plug in the iBook, and then every, you know, there'd be 10 or 12 other people who had Macs with iTunes, and you would see their shared playlist. And when you go look at other people's shared playlist, you will always find an album and or an artist you've never heard of. Everybody has stuff on there no one else has ever heard of, right? And so one of the things that you get, it's the long tail in action. I mean, it's a concrete example of the long tail, is that everybody has one or two blockbusters. Everybody has some stuff no one's ever heard of across the board. Everyone I've ever looked at is like that, you know? So people have people are by nature willing to experiment, willing to try new stuff. And, you know, part of what I try to do in the whole podcast is evangelize my, as it happens, you know, I have the ability to let a few thousand people listen to my lesser known stuff in my playlist. And that's part of what the whole deal is about to me, is to be able to do that.
Oh, I hear the RIAA. They're knocking on your front door now.
They ain't got a leg to stand on, because I haven't played jack fucking shit from those bastards. They got no grievance with me, because I steer as clear of them as I do of any sort of toxic spill.
Yeah.
All right, did I kill the conversation?
We just found out that the beer we're drinking is 11.1% alcohol. Now I know why I feel the way I do, man.
Is it really?
Yeah.
By the way, let me just say that whoever fiddled around with it, you did get rid of the loopback, and that I thank you greatly for it.
That's our man, Alan.
That's Alan the man.
That's his contribution for the month of May. Yeah.
You know what's the funny part, though? Now that you won't have the, now that you don't have the loopback, we'll probably go and play the.
The other problem is our audio went down.
You won't be on it either.
This place looks good, man. We got a Whitebacker Brewery, man. We got to go for a tour.
Oh yeah.
He's the one I always wanted to tour. Beer.
I always wanted to tour the Abita Brewery out there on the other side of the lake from New Orleans. Man, that's some tasty stuff.
That's one place I really got to go to, man.
New Orleans is a place I like. I would say it's a great Friday night city, and it's a lousy Monday morning city.
Lots of drinking.
Well, yeah, it's fun to be there for, I say, the first 24 hours in New Orleans, always an absolute blast. And after and the 40, second 24 hours is not quite as much of the blast, that, and then you,
that's when you
get into diminishing returns really quick.
You get like pickpocketed and beat up.
No, I've never had any bad experience like that. It's a high impact city, you know. It's you hit the ground running, and then you know, it's gonna wear you down after a while.
Sounds like Vegas.
Yeah,
it's good for a weekend.
I went to grad school in Lafayette, Louisiana, which is a couple hours from New Orleans, and I interviewed for a job in New Orleans, and it was like I went for the job and I got an offer, and what I did is I said, you know what, let me come back and let me in one of the few smart job things I've really done in my life, I said, you know what, let me come back, let me spend a full day with you guys, like not a special day, and don't, you know, put on a dog and pony show, just an absolute normal day, and you know, let me just work with you, and you know, I'll pitch in and do whatever just to get a feel for what it's like. And the job itself was okay, but it was like getting into New Orleans and then like trying to get on the interstate to get out, and like nothing was labeled, and there's just these concrete ramps up to nowhere.
Sounds like Boston.
You can't even tell which direction you're going, and it was like the traffic sucked, and it was like, and I said, I can't live in this shithole, no way am I taking this job.
Definitely like Boston.
Sounds like Boston. Yeah, to me, yeah.
So I mean, that was the job was okay, but I decided I made some lifestyle engineering choices and said, "Nah, I'm not going to live here."
Yeah. South Carolina, I mean, is nice, man.
Where I live now is, you know, I've been posting this stuff on my weblog about, you know, this is basically a couple of years ago. I had kind of the dream of the life I wanted, and it was very, very close to what I have right now. You know, this is a small town, a small enough town to where, you know, I can walk around and talk to neighbors on their porch, and you know, I know the mailman by name and that kind of stuff, but big enough that I have, you know, cable modem, I have, you know, internet connectivity, there's Wi-Fi, you know, free Wi-Fi in downtown Conway.
Sounds like Pennsylvania.
Yeah. 10 miles from the beach. I mean, you know, seriously, what more do you want in life?
It's true. South Carolina is real nice.
Free internet, yeah. Access.
Free internet access.
Gigaband.
Free porn.
What is it? Infiniband.
This is the only place I've ever lived where I had a choice of two different telephone companies and two different cable companies.
Ooh.
The county has a collective. It has a cooperative.
The county is a collective, yeah.
It has a cooperative,
Dave,
communication.
Dave, you will be assimilated.
The Horry County HTC. So you can get Time Warner, or you can get the Horry County. And you can do the same with your phone. So it's kind of interesting. It's like, it's a little town. I've got a freaking choice of cable companies. Where the hell did that come from?
Wow. Good for you, man. It's better than over here. Over here, it's a whole bunch of monopolies.
Hey, you know what I heard today? I was listening to some podcast, and I won't mention the name, but somebody on there was talking about how he was going to sign right up for this this podcast business where you send it to a radio station and they play it for free.
San Francisco?
Was it a blues show podcast?
What's that? No. Someone was saying it's what Dave Slusher was right on with this, and he was gonna send his stuff right into this joint and have him play him.
Yeah, right. That's, you know, my point on all this stuff, and I don't really know the ins and outs of Adam's Sirius thing, but I'm presuming that it's not much different than KYOU, the station out in San Francisco.
Yeah, KYOU is what I was talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
And my whole deal is, so I go and I do this stuff and I, you know, give it away, and if I'm lucky, I make a little bit of money on it. And that's fine with me. And, you know, if the T-shirt sales suddenly stop tomorrow, you know, big frickin' deal. I don't care. I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I don't mind giving it away. But at the point where I give it to someone else who can directly or indirectly sell it, make some cash, pocket it all, and give me none, fuck them.
That's exactly the deal, man. Dave, you pretty much...
I mean, Dave.
You hit it on the head, man.
I don't mind giving it away, but if it's I had the same thing once with... I have the same thing with tickets to a concert. If you give someone the ticket and then they scalp it, how do you feel?
God bless
them,
man. It
always pisses you off. It's like, I could have scalped it, for Christ's sake. What, I gave it away.
You're the idiot.
You least you should do is give it to somebody else, you bastard.
Hey, more power to them, man. They freaking did what they did with it. God bless him. That's the deal, man.
That's funny. But I figured I had to bring that up because I listened to your show today, and I heard you ranting about it for like 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the Tony at the Roadhouse mm-hmm. has been the person, the most, the only person I know who I've actually seen, who I listened to, who said they went for the KYOU. And he went for one single show and like an older of his shows. So it was a fairly tentative toe in the water. It wasn't like his, you know, newest show. It wasn't his best stuff. He was kind of giving them some leftovers. Matt, his whole point was, well, you know, I need notoriety, and at least right now, this experiment's going to get notoriety, and if I'm in that initial burst of stuff, then I'm going to get some more attention. And, you know, it's, I respect Tony. I like Tony. I listen to his show religiously. But I just kind of see it different because, you know, I don't want to be the donkey pulling someone else's cart, you know?
Yeah.
The analogy, and I just kind of came up with it. It's like, so people have mixed feelings, and some people, I was really surprised at the number of people, you're like Jeff Jarvis types who say, well, you know, this is a good thing for podcasting, it'll get on the radar. I'm thinking, it sucks for podcasters. It's probably good for podcasting, but it sucks for the podcasters. And I said, well, let's imagine this situation. We got a hypothetical. I got a contract from Simon & Schuster to prepare a book, and I'm editing a book, The Best of Blogs, and you can submit your blog to me, and I will take chunks of it, and I'll put it in my book, and I'll get paid, and Simon & Schuster will get paid, but you guys are giving it to me for free.
Right.
Does that sound like a good deal? and if yes or no, how is that any different from what we got here? Somebody took the time to prepare it, to think about it, to write it up, to say it, to record it, and put it out there. And now somebody else is going to bundle that up and sell it. You know,
more power to them.
Do it without me.
They're the brains, man. They're fucking you over.
No, they're not. They're fucking over the people who are willing to do it, which ain't me.
Right. I'm with you, Dave.
It's like it's one of those. I'm just contrary enough. It's like the whole, destroy the village in order to save it. It's like, you know, I'll burn this down before I let you have it. One of those kind of deals.
It's very Russian.
I'm with you all the way.
So, but, you know.
Very Russian.
I work at a bunch of Ruskies, man. I know their deal.
When they see the tanks coming over the hill, out come the lighters.
Duh.
Where are you going?
No, I'm just standing up, man, because, you know, my ass hurts.
He has the wood chair this time.
I'm an IT guy, and my ass hurts, and that's what I'm going to do. All right, listen, Dave, we gotta cut this pretty short now because we only have 15 minutes left for our second interview.
All right.
But I really, really want to thank you for coming on the show. And, you know, by all means, man, anytime you want to come talk, talking public on the show
just give
live,
us a ring.
You're more than welcome to, you know?
All right, guys. Thanks very much. I will definitely, we'll do this again.
Good to talk to you, Dave. Take care.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. And that was Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles. That's
Evil Genius Chronicles.
Good guy.
Evil Genius Chronicles. Evil Genius Chronicles.
Even if he is
EvilGeniusChronicles.org. Please go there. And hit the website and download his podcast by all means and listen to them. He podcasts not daily, but
about three times a week.
About three times a week, yeah. Good stuff. Always really, really good music. Good commentary. Check them out. And that's that. And we have a second interview.
It's called Brian.
Yeah.
We're going to call Brian Tower Cone.
I'll try.
He's one of the XFC
developers.
He's
saying that he's on.
Is he not on?
I don't know. I'm calling. I'm connecting. I'm trying.
Here we go. We're calling.
La, 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 la,
Brian. La, la. Brian, you young man. Get with the program. Pick up the phone.
Hello.
Brian, what's up? It's Pat.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
Pretty good.
Sorry we went a little late with the last interview.
Oh, no problem.
How's everything, man?
I'm doing well. Just got through some late meetings at work. No big deal.
Oh, well, then that's good. Then we didn't interrupt you during the meeting.
Yeah, no problem. I've been listening in for the past, I guess, 25 minutes or so. So I caught a little bit of the show.
Cool.
XFCE is one of our favorite lightweight desktops. Brian, tell us a little bit about what you do at the XFCE project and any other interests.
Sure. Thanks for the kind words. I am the maintainer of the XF Desktop module, which is the guide that draws the desktop background and pops up the right-click menu and the window list and all that fun stuff. In addition to that, I just do a bunch of random stuff, writing new classes or whatever for some of our foundation libraries, working with users, bug hunting, all that great stuff.
So most of the developers are European-based, right? You're like one of the few.
Yes, I am the project's token American. We have
French, German.
Yeah, French, German, Dutch. We have a guy down in Mexico writes the file manager. What else do we have? We have a guy not too active anymore, but he lives in India. Really all over. Bunch of guys from everywhere.
You sound pretty young. You're in college still, or?
No, I'm a little bit older. I'm 23. I've been out of college a little over a year, I guess.
What do you do in real life?
Real life, I work for Netgear. I'm working on their multimedia, their fledgling multimedia product line.
Is it Linux-based, or are you doing other things?
I'm actually not involved software side at all. I'm more of project design management kind of thing.
That's cool. You're doing one of the side projects in XFCE, aren't you? Like one of the
yes. I guess the last summer maybe I started working on XF Media. It's a media player based on the Zenlib media engine. The idea is to be something simple, easy to use. I kind of liked how XMMS had its very simple, flat playlist kind of thing. But I figured I could do something I happen to hate skinned interfaces, so I wanted to get rid of that. And I thought there were a bunch of different things I could do to make it work better. And then I figured, why not throw in video as well?
That's cool.
And so
XFCE, for people who don't know, is a very minimalist desktop, but it's really cool in the approach that it takes. It includes all the libraries for running GTK and also KDE apps, and it's really nice for like a lightweight desktop. I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the point. It's lightweight, modular. You can mix and match things if you want. Like I know some people really love to have desktop icons, so they'll use like the Rocks pinboard or a Nautilus or something. And it's pretty much can be just about whatever you want it to be. At least that's the plan or the theory.
Now, one of the really cool things about XFCE is recently you guys have a new installer that works real well. It's totally distro independent, and it comes up with a nice GUI interface. It installs everything you need to have a nice system running.
Yeah, that was the project of one of our core devs, Benedikt Neurer, a guy from Germany. He actually works for a company in Germany where he gets to work on XFCE, which is pretty cool. He's the only one of us who's lucky enough to be able to do that. And he was getting kind of fed up with all of the requirements for different distros, different packages, different package managers, everything, and there are always so many problems with users saying that they weren't really sure how to install it. So he figured, I'll come up with a generic installation system, and it's kind of cool. It's written in C, but I believe it's actually distributed uncompiled, and it basically has a Bash shell script wrapper that bootstraps the installer, starts it up, then it compiles whatever the install package happens to be, in this case, the XFCE environment, and then installs it. It even keeps track of the stuff that gets installed, so you can uninstall it if you want also.
What about this new file manager that you guys are working on? What can you tell us about that?
New file manager, not too much yet. We pretty much have settled on a UI design for it. We have some pretty concrete ideas of the code architecture and all that and what we want out of it, but we actually don't have any code for it yet. We have a mock-up written in Python, and development's been stalled a little. The same guy Benedict Muir, who did the installer, he's been running that project, but he's been kind of busy and has been out of the picture for the past several weeks. So,
I thought originally you guys were going to switch over to rocks instead of the XF tree filer.
The discussions on that might have been a bit before I joined. I've been with XFCE, I guess, a little bit over a year now. There are just a few things about it that didn't really fit with what we wanted to see in a file manager. Like, some of them were kind of nitpicky things, like how it always resizes windows automatically when the context changes. And it just didn't fit in, and I think they had discussed with the guy that develops rocks and didn't really get very far. He kind of had his own ideas as to the direction he wanted to take, and XFC, we kind of had our own, and it just didn't really mesh too well, so decided not to go that route.
Yeah, I noticed that in the new XFCE and the rocks pin board don't necessarily work and play well together anymore.
Yeah, they...
Which is really a shame, you know.
Right, you can use them together, but, it's a little bit of a pain to set up and isn't the greatest experience, which is part of the reason why we'd like to get a new full-featured file manager and desktop manager done for 4.4, which hopefully will happen. Not too sure yet.
So who do we have to bribe or whatever to get music manager working under Slackware better?
It doesn't. I wasn't aware of that.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean...
We're big Slackware people.
Huh?
We're really into Slackware, Brian.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, file bugs, send me emails, bug the crap out of me. I mean, I wasn't aware that there was any problem.
No,
so.
it's dependent on one library that I can't find, I guess, for Slackware. I can't even remember what it is at this point in time. But
that helps.
Yeah, I know. It helps.
Really useful.
Hey, be thankful that it was like stuck in the back of my head. I actually tried to run it the other day and I couldn't get it to run.
So how about that though? I don't know if you're not a Slackware user, but apparently XFCE has supplanted GNOME as a major desktop in Slackware.
XFCE rocks, man.
They just pushed
great desktop. Man. I love XFCE.
See, and it's for that reason alone that I think that they should spend a whole lot more time making Slackware packages of XFCE and all the
Yeah, that's the thing. I'd seen some people in like our RFC channel and that asking for Slack packages, and there are a couple people who said, "Yeah, I made my own," and then they said, and then someone asks, you know, "Well, where are they?" And they're like, "Well, I don't have them anymore." And I'm just like, "Oh man."
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Why bother with a package when you could just run the installer?
Yeah,
right.
Or something.
I don't know.
Idiots.
Something like that.
Kick them.
But I like it. So what do you have super secret stuff that you want to not reveal to the general public? Shh, nobody listen.
What's
but
coming out in the next release?
You want to tell us. XFCE file manager. Wiggly XFCE.
Oh, God. I don't have any super secret stuff. I'm not important enough. No.
Oh, you are the most important because nobody else is on the
nobody
Linux
knows.
Link Tech Show.
Yeah. Flattery will get you everywhere.
The rest of them, you know, they got nothing going on because they're not on the tech show. You got all the attention, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're sleeping. I mean, come on. What's up with that?
So here we are talking with Brian, the lead developer of XFCE.
What are the core developers?
Yeah, Olivia will kick my ass if he hears that. But, you know, it's all right.
we'll talk to him soon enough.
All right.
So there's no super secret stuff, no advancements that you can kind of clue us in about?
Really super secret.
Things that we can look for in future releases?
We're mainly going for, you know, more and less integration at the same time. We want to make things easier to use and easier for users to get through. I mean, I know, like, some people currently will say, I don't like the taskbar. I don't use the taskbar, and no one knows how to get rid of it. And it's something as simple as killing the process and restarting and saving your session, but it's not obvious. So why not have, you know, some kind of control panel options so you can do that? You know, I want to use the taskbar. I don't want to use the taskbar. Things like that. I know Olivia has been working hard over the past months and months on a compositing manager to do, you know, drop shadows and transparency and all that fun stuff, and that's slowly been maturing. Hopefully it'll be really super usable by 4.4. There's, of course, the new file manager. Ideas to be pretty basic. We're kind of actually using as a quasi-model the new GTK file chooser. It's the new, well, it's not so new anymore, but it's the newer, you know, file open, file save dialogue. And it has a bunch of good ideas in it. to show the directory you're in, it has a row of buttons on the top and for each directory in the path, and you can, you know, click through that. There's a shortcuts pane and stuff like that. But we still want it to be, you know, familiar enough to people who are used to other things. So there'll certainly be a tree view on the left, and it'll kind of behave like a navigational file manager with, you know, a location bar, all that stuff. But of course, this is all just me talking out my ass. I mean, until it's actually written, it's kind of useless.
Hey, sure. Well, you know what? This is the tech show, and we talk out our ass, and we're good at it.
So all the time.
You can, you can just feel safe knowing that.
Very good, very good.
We're here to chew the rag, man.
Yeah.
more new stuff. Jasper has been rewriting large portions of the panel, so it's a bit more generic. You can have as many panels as you want on the screen. It can act as a container for a bunch of random things. Have plugins that run outside of the panel process so they can't make it crash, like several not very well behaving plugins do today. Overall giving it a huge overhaul, making it more usable. I'm planning on, despite the new file manager is going to manage the desktop and draw icons on the desktop, but for people that maybe don't want to use that file manager, since everyone seems to have a different opinion on how that should work, I am planning on adding desktop icon support, XF desktop.
Does the XFC project meet regularly, like the KDE project in like Germany or France or whatever?
No, we don't. Part of it's you know, just that we're all so busy. Part of it's the money of, you know, doing all that traveling. I actually met them all for the first time end of February at FOSDEM. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's the FOSDEM. That's free and open source developers European meeting, I think it is. And so I managed to fly out to Brussels and meet all of them. Yeah, it was a really great trip. It was
drink some good Belgian ale.
Yes, I did indeed experience the great Belgian ale, yeah. But kind of crazy. I just went out for the weekend, so I was probably traveling almost as much as I was actually there, but it was a great time.
Hey, Brian, when can we expect to see the next newest and greatest release of XFCE?
Oh, that's always the million-dollar question. We have planned to release sometime this summer. We wanted to try and move to something around an 8-9 month release lag between 4.2 and 4.4. 4.2 was released, I guess, middle of January it was.
Mm-hmm.
So not really sure if we're going to be able to hit the target. As I said, our file manager project lead has gone a little bit of a hiatus, so depending on when he comes back and when we get moving on that, might push back the schedule a bit. But I think otherwise we're doing pretty well. I mean, Jasper's work on the panel is coming along nicely. Olivier has been working on the window manager, working well.
Brian, what you got to do is invite all those guys to California.
Yeah, that would be great.
I would love that.
I'd love to get them all out here.
Since you are the developer for XF Media,
yes.
Other than the fact that I can't get it to run on Slackware, which, you know, you really should provide Slackware packages for, there's one thing that I would really like to see in there, and I'm not above extortion to get it. And that would be, I think that XF Media should have a default hook somewhere. And I say somewhere. That automatically points people to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Works for me, man.
And we're all in complete agreement on this over here. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I imagine it's pretty easy to get consensus on that. So.
Well, there you go. So we can expect to see that in the next revision, right? I mean, everybody has to have something good to listen to, right? You don't want to just give them the media player and not point them at something intelligent and cool to listen to. So why not, you know?
A set of favorite links, perhaps? Something
sure.
Like that.
Just, you know, it just shows up automatically or something.
Brian, it's been great to talking to you. I really appreciate taking the time to talk to us. We'll have to talk.
Sure.
We'll have to talk in the future, seriously.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming on, Brian. We really appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem.
You have a good day.
Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Thanks. You too, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Brian.
That was Brian. And we are, oh boy, we're getting close to the end of our show. Actually.
I think we should do a bonus segment.
We got 3 minutes.
We got 2 minutes.
3 minutes.
Keep on talking.
The bin rev clock says we have 3 minutes.
It's 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes. And I'm
actually,
check
4 minutes.
I can talk about my low-cost MP3 player for my car.
You could do that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I picked up this FM modulator.
Oh, we're out of time, man.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
Let's keep talking.
Sorry, good night.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
For basically $54, I picked up this little modulator thing that hooks up into my car stereo. Actually, it hooks up into the car liner, and you plug in your USB stick. I have a 512 Cruiser that I picked up at Radio Shack for $10. So basically $65, you have an MP3 player that you can listen to all your podcasts in your car on the way to work and back.
Where is that thing? You had it here.
It's right here, man. Check it out.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Works great.
$5.
I'm going to have to get me one of them. I'll tell you what. That's just like a – you need to – what we need is to get a picture of that and put that up on the web blog.
I'm
going to
put it on – I posted a link on the forum. I also posted a link on the mailing list for Lug. For like $54, you have an MP3 player that takes any USB stick.
Only MP3s, though, right?
Yeah, only MP3s.
Does it play any variety of MP3s?
Anything,
like,
music,
it doesn't
audio?
Doesn't crap out if it's,
nope.
If it's, you know, over 128K
nope.
Or something?
As long as you got space on the USB stick, it keeps playing.
Cool.
Does it kill the Easy Pass?
Not so far. Who was talking about that? Was
Mark.
Mark was talking about
Stanley.
That. Mark was saying that he had an old player from a couple of years back where he would listen to MP3 files on his stick, and it would kill his Easy Pass. Easy Pass, for those people who don't know, in the northeast portion of the United States, it's like this tag where you can go through tolls and it'll automatically bill your credit card. You know, mostly Boston, New York, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland.
Every state has something like that, but yeah they know what you're talking about.
You know what's missing on this? Is an LCD display, but I guess
the only thing I don't like about this is it doesn't have like fast forward and backwards. That's the only thing I don't like about it.
Oh, you can only like skip.
Skip. That's skip. About it. That's okay though. It works.
Hey, for $65.
I know.
That's pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Now is this
that's going on my wish list? Like,
this is,
right away.
This is basically. It looks like strictly limited to. Use in the automobile.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Yeah,
cause
it plugs into the lighter port. And
I mean, this. There's no way you're getting this off without really breaking it, and I don't see any battery.
The thing probably costs about $5 to make, and it only plays MP3s, but shit, man. For $55, what the hell do you expect?
You made
it's
it?
It's still pretty cool.
No, I bought it.
I thought you said it cost $5 to make.
Alan, can you like post the link?
I did.
It's still pretty cool.
Link's been
that's
posted.
Really neat looking.
There is a competitor like on the Sub 300, which Sub 300 is like the people that make it's a Canadian company that makes $300 laptops and desktops with Linspire installed. They have they have their own product that goes for about $65-$70, but I saw this for $54 and I couldn't resist.
That's pretty cool. In fact, that's really cool.
Don't stick it in your.
It works.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
It works real well, man.
I'll hold it for you, Pat.
Thanks. No problem.
Yeah, right.
you guys got to listen.
I'll hold it for you.
When we're done with the show, we'll go down and listen to it, and you'll hear how good it sounds.
Yeah.
I guess we're wrapped. We got to wrap it up, B.
Next week episode, we're going to have Ian Murdoch, the founder of the Debian Project, and also of Progeny Linux.
Yeah,
going to be a real good interview.
Debian, not Debian. Even I'm really toying with the idea of calling it Debian all night long. Ago,
are we talking just to the Firefox Garage guys?
We may be talking to the people from the both authors from the Firefox.
We got to give Ian at least 40 minutes.
And Thunderbird Garage, but I still have to get a hold of them. I haven't heard anything back from them like 3 or 4 days. So. Anyway, big
roll us out there, sweetheart.
Good episode coming up next week, and of course, it was a really good episode this week. Special thanks to our guests, Brian and Dave.
Give us feedback on the quality of the audio.
Cheers, folks.
Here we go.
Keep the keep.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You listen to
Linux Link Tech Show.